Good afternoon. I'm Simon Thompson on Voice of the Public today. We talk water. NASA scientists are projecting dry conditions are only going to get more severe over the next 30 years. Put simply, addressing these challenges regionally is about boosting our water supply and or managing our demand for it. In for today's discussion, we have water policy experts and stakeholders, including Jorge Figueroa and Anthony Gutierrez, the executive director of the entity overseeing the Gila River diversion proposal, and of course you, our listener. We have KRWG staff waiting for your call, and Samantha Sonner is at the social media desk waiting for your tweets and comments. That's coming up on Voice of the Public right after the news. Good afternoon, I'm Simon Thompson. You're listening to Voice of the Public on KRWG. On our show today, we are discussing water scarcity. Calling in on the phone, we have Anthony Gutierrez with New Mexico Central Arizona Project, the entity behind the Gila diversion proposal. We have Jorge Figueroa, water policy analyst, and also be hearing from James Marshall, assistant town manager at Silver City. Gentlemen, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Simon.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Simon.
Great. So before we kind of get into things, for our listeners out there, we'll be taking questions for our guests and comments. The number is 575-646-2212. You can also comment and tweet via social media. Samantha Sonner is standing by the desk to take care of those. So I want to start with a question for all of you, and I want to start with you, Anthony. I want you to talk about the potential impacts of your scarce water supply in our region, coupled with the increasing demand for water. So what does that mean for future quality of life, for the economy and the environment?
Well, Simon, I think that we're seeing some issues not only in southwest New Mexico, but in the whole southwest region, where we've identified that there are issues with the amount of recharge that we're getting to our aquifers and to our watersheds. But the issues that we're potentially having with water rights being able to be met, especially in the agricultural community. And so I felt that, and our board has a mission to be able to secure water resources for southwest New Mexico. And so we've already identified the impact. The Interstate Stream Commission from the state of New Mexico has identified that there is deficiencies in our overall water supply. Not necessarily for the immediate time, but in the forthcoming future. So I think it's important for us to be able to secure the resources that we've got. Okay. And that's what our mission is.
So, James, you're obviously from the same part of southern New Mexico as Anthony. Could you kind of speak to what you see as, you know, what's at risk and what's at stake with our scarce water supply and not being able to kind of, you know, secure a supply and keep it kind of thing?
Well, municipalities and local governments always use a 40-year planning period, and it's very critical that we be able to meet the actual paper and wet water demands for that 40-year period. You know, it's often said that whiskey's for drinking and water's for fighting. It's just that critical. The water's life.
Gotcha. Interesting. And Jorge, same question. Obviously, you're coming from a more of a, you know, western state regional perspective, but could you kind of speak to the same thing of these, how these challenges kind of mirror other challenges that are going on throughout our region?
Sure. I think that actually the biggest challenge is investing in fiscally responsible and much needed water conservation for urban municipalities and for agriculture. There is a clear and present risk, very high risk, of drought in the region, both the Colorado River Basin including New Mexico and Texas, according to a ton of scientific studies, are projected to be the ground zero for the impacts of drought and freshwater resources in the United States. And I think that right now it's a big priority within the planning processes, both of southwestern New Mexico and the Colorado River Basin states, for an urgent and sustained investment in water conservation. There are a lot of solutions that are already exist that can really stretch our water supplies and provide reliable water supplies for many, many years into the future, even under this daunting climate change drought scenarios that we will most likely face in the future.
So if you have questions for our guests out there, give us a call on 575-646-2212. Once again, that's 575-646-2212. You can also comment and tweet via social media. I want to refer back to you, Anthony, and, you know, this is once again a question for all three of you. So, it's, you know, you kind of, there seems to be a consensus on what the challenges are and what that kind of spells out for the future of this region if it's not managed or dealt with appropriately. But I want to start with you, Anthony. What's the solution that, or one of many solutions that you're proposing to address this in terms of the Gila Diversion Project?
Well, I think we've kind of switched our focus a little bit in the past few months since the inception of the New Mexico CAP entity. We initially started with this large maximum surface water benefit project, and now have taken a different approach. What we'd like to see is a good balance between surface water, the mining of our aquifers, and conservation. We've always been supporters of conservation projects. And we'd also like to see what's happening to the Gila right now, maybe some mitigation being done because of the agricultural impact on the river. So directly with the diversion, we'd like to be able to think that we are, number one, securing the potential for surface water to be utilized in future years, but we'd also like to be able to try and mitigate what's happening now with the ag. Currently, in the dry months of May and June and sometimes into July, the water gets so low in off the river that most of the water, if not all, is currently being used for ag. And so there are stretches of the river that actually go dry.
Okay.
And so what we'd like to do is try and be able to provide for the agricultural portion of it so that we could keep the stream wet. And so that's one of the purposes.
One of the bigger tools in your toolbox to address, you know, this water scarcity and problem. Is that fair to say?
Excuse me, I didn't...
It's one of the kind of bigger solutions. The diversion is one of the bigger solutions you have, among others, to address this kind of region's scarcity of water. Is that fair to say?
I think there's consequences, you know, I mean, to everything. And even now we're seeing that, you know, one of the impacts from ag, direct ag, which has been done, you know, I mean, since the early 1800s in the Gila Valley. But now we're seeing that same agriculture is causing, you know, reaches of the river to go dry. And so we want to try and minimize that while still providing for our ag needs.
Okay. So I want to refer to you, Jorge. You know, is that feasible? Is that realistic in terms of the diversion being able to do all those things? And is this one of the main solutions to the region's scarcity and diminishing water supply?
With all due respect to Anthony, I think that draining the river and diverting more water from the river to help agriculture not dry up the river doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I think that there are many options specifically for agriculture to improve its infrastructure and its ditch, capacity to satisfy their long-term needs.
Could you give us some examples of like some specifics? Because I just feel like I've heard various of them, but you know, they're not something that people mention a lot. And I'd like to know them and the ones that relate specifically to this region.
Well, there are some. It depends on the area and the river reaches, but there are some examples. For example, where you can insert and install automated headgates and systems in which can reduce up to 20% the diversion of the river and the spillage and the wastewater, while at the same time making life much easier for the farmer while keeping water in the river.
Are you saying that these conservation methods or water saving methods kind of make the diversion project unnecessary? Is that kind of what you're saying? Or
absolutely.
Okay. I just want to give out the number again for our listeners, 575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. You're listening to Voice of the Public on KRWG. I'm Simon Thompson. We have Anthony Gutierrez with NM Central Arizona Project calling in over the phone. We have Jorge Figueroa in studio, and we also have James Marshall, the assistant town manager of Silver City. And I want to kind of address the same question to you. What's your attitude from your personal opinion as a resident, but also as a city manager, to the proposed Gila diversion as a solution?
Well, Silver City found that we really needed to establish what our minimum water demand was. And in doing that, we have to implement multiple conservation measures to actually achieve that.
Okay.
So decreasing our demand has actually been able to stretch our water planning period from 40 to over 100 years in actual wet water that's available to the town. So it definitely makes us a lot less of a stakeholder in getting into a expensive project out on the Gila.
And is there kind of an element of wanting to, you know, to keep the Gila the way it is for you, given that it's so close? Is there other benefits that you're worried about losing, I guess?
Well, the Gila National Forest and the wilderness are, you know, we're sitting at their front door, and it's very, very critical to the area for tourism. People from all over the country can and do come out to the forest and the wilderness. It's one of the most beautiful areas in the world, and the Gila wilderness being the first wilderness in the United States is critical to protect.
Interesting. So once again, that number out there for your listeners, it's 575-646-2212, 575-646-2212. You can also tweet and comment via social media with your questions, and we'll read them out on air. I want to address this to you, Anthony. You know, this is something that I ask a lot of people, and, you know, this is basically, is water left to flow down the river a wasted resource? Is it irresponsible for New Mexico just to let this water run past and run into Arizona?
Well, personally, I think that it is, of course. Arizona has been benefiting from that water for quite some time now. And not only just from the water resource itself, but from the economic value that it carries with it. We're seeing now, especially in Arizona, that small amounts of water are being sold for huge profit and for. So we see that as a huge loss to the state of New Mexico, not only as a resource, but as an economic benefit. And I want to kind of address some of the other things that we've been talking about. Our project is really identified and taken into consideration a lot of the public comment that we've got about the forest and the wilderness, and so what we've done is actually taken what it would be an original diversion point and moved it downstream to a point where it's very difficult to even get to. You'd have to either walk or get downstream somehow. There's no motor vehicle traffic or anything in the area. So there's already some infrastructure there with the Gila gauge. And we're trying to do some other things, like our initial phase is for some air aquifer storage and recovery, which we're attempting to try and slow some of that water down when we have sufficient water in the river. And so we can actually utilize the water at some different points and not necessarily have to have a dam and a reservoir and all those things that people have kind of stuck out there in the public and said, well, if you have a dam and you have a reservoir, well, you're going to drain the river dry and you can do all these things. We're taking very, very cautious approach to this. I'm a lifetime resident of the Gila Valley. One of the reasons why I got involved was that I didn't want to see those type of projects being done. And so we're using, you see all over the Western United States, mainstream dams being replaced by environmental-friendly type diversions and environmental-friendly type systems. And so that's what we're trying to do here. There's already a diversion on the Gila, the Feasibility Ovens, and we're trying to stay away from anything close to that. So we're taking care of what we're thinking is our valuable resource. And all that water has been going to Arizona.
Interesting. We're going to go to a caller now, but before that, I just want to give out the number again. It's 575-646-2212, 575-646-2212. You can also tweet and comment via social media with your questions for Jorge Figueroa, James Marshall, and Anthony Gutierrez. We have Jim on hold at the moment. He has a question about dredging the river. Are you there, Jim?
Yes. My question is, it seems like a terrible waste of water, because trying to get, whenever they do open up the dam and let the water flow, the Rio Grande at the moment is so full of sand, it's only maybe a couple of feet deep. And I'm 64 years old. I've never seen the Rio Grande dredged in my lifetime. It seems like it would be a more efficient solution, a simple solution, in fact, to dredge the Rio Grande so that the water could flow more efficiently.
Okay,
can't they do that?
And that's for Anthony, your question? Yeah.
So why can't they do that? Why can't they dredge the Rio Grande?
Anthony, did you want to take that question?
Well, I don't think the dredging, I think, especially in environmental, in the ecosystem of the Gila River, I think that dredging, I think that they have in the past, they've actually taken a lot of the sediment and actually made dikes along either side. But we've seen that those don't work. It actually increases the speed of the river. It sometimes does more damage than good. And, of course, for the fact that there's a lot of endangered species in the river certainly wouldn't be any type of benefit to those species. But also, there is some that type of construction that goes on in the Gila River, and that has to do with the current diversions that are utilized. They're earthen diversions, and so they have to be pushed up in order to be able to utilize the ag water. And so what we're trying to do is trying to be able to have some more permanent, as Mr. Figueroa had explained, use some improvements to the head gates and to the diversions for the irrigation to be able to minimize that impact. And so that is being done already.
Interesting. Do you have something to add on that, Jorge?
Yes. So in terms of the Gila is the soul of the Cradle of the Wilderness movement. It is the headwaters of the Gila. It's important to understand that rivers are living systems, and that the health of river ecosystems is dependent on the natural flows and the ebbs and flows of water streaming and rushing down the river. And the river is very dynamic and always creating habitat through its flows. So dredging a river would basically destroy its capacity to have freshwater ecosystems. And one important thing, I think, to note is that the outdoor recreation industry in New Mexico is a $6 billion industry. And in terms of the idea of damming or dredging the Gila River, I think that I'm going to use the E.O. Wilson analogy. It is analogous to using Renaissance paintings from Leonardo da Vinci and Raphael to build a fire to cook your dinner. It is a extremely wasteful use of an invaluable resource for something that will not really provide benefit to the local community.
Interesting. We have a caller that has a very similar question to that. But before that, just that number again is 575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. You're listening to Voice of the Public. We are talking about water scarcity in our region. We have James Marshall, Assistant Town Manager of Silver City, in the studio, along with Jorge Figueroa, a water policy analyst, and also have Anthony Gutierrez calling in over the phone. We are going to go to Jesus over the phone. He has a question about the cost benefit for people of the Gila diversion. Are you there, Jesus?
Yes, thank you. Jesus, yes. My question is about the cost to the taxpayer and the economic feasibility of damming the Gila River. What is the best cost benefit analysis to the taxpayer? It seems like the river diversion would be an awfully expensive project. What is the cost of that versus maybe the cost of some of the other conservation projects, such as the automatic walls or gates that the other gentleman was talking about?
Did you want to answer that, Anthony, and then we'll refer to Jorge?
Sure. The word dam has been used several times. There's no plan to build a dam in the first place. So we need to remove that from people's ideas that we're not proposing to put any dam. Matter of fact, we've been looking at subsurface diversion structures what we think of this project is that we think of it as a foundation for any future water needs that we have. Mr. Marshall talked about the 40-year plan that the town of Silver City has. City of Deming has the same. Town of Bayard, the regional water project that has been proposed. And in all of those plans, even though they aren't at the forefront, all of those potentially have a portion of their plan that is directly related to using surface diversion for recharging their wells. And so although the initial capital cost may be what in some people's minds is as too large and too costly and too much impact to the general public, we feel that any good foundation for water security is a good investment. And so whether it's an ag investment, whether it's a municipal investment, if we secure and utilize the money now to be able to build the infrastructure that may sustain our water supply 50 or 60 or 70 years from now, you could only imagine what type of cost you'd have to incur if it was as a we need that today type of project. And so that's the way we look at it. We look at it as security for New Mexico, not necessarily spending money so that we can have a big diversion project and we're going to have water to run our boats in. So
Jorge, same question, you know, cost versus cost and benefit kind of analysis from you.
Thank you. I published a report a couple of years ago on the imbalance between supply and demand in the southwestern region, for county region, and solutions to meet long-term water needs in urban and rural communities in this region. And I've also, after that study, have done subsequent analysis on the city of Deming and trying to look into where it is right now and where it's going in terms of water security. And long story short, my research and my experience working on these water planning processes, specifically as it pertains to this region, is that in terms of cost benefit and taxpayer money, the Silver City and Deming, who have the largest population, are actually getting the less benefit from the taxpayer funding related to the Arizona Water Settlements Act, and have the biggest needs. If you're talking about agriculture and preserving agricultural heritage, I think to the extent that you help Silver City and Deming residents to have a good, firm water security and resilient cities, you will really take out the need for these urban areas to rely on agricultural to urban water transfers. And so that said, I can also add that these two cities and the urban areas in the region are doing an excellent job in terms of planning for the water supplies. And I think it would be a better investment, for example, instead of spending tens of millions of dollars into consultants from out of the region doing studies on a project, for those tens of millions of dollars to be invested in real projects that bring real jobs and new infrastructure improvements in these urban areas.
So we're talking water on Voice of the Public today. Give us a call at 575-646-2212 with your questions. That number again is 575-646-2212. Samantha Sonna is at the social media desk as well, waiting for your comments and tweets. We're going to go to a caller now. We have Elaine, who has a question about who's benefiting from this kind of project. Are you there, Elaine?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Well, loud and clear.
Okay. I appreciate the gentleman's comments about the Gila. That's very important. This is a question about the Rio Grande. And we are irrigating acres and acres and acres, hundreds of acres of luxury crop pecans here. And I'm just wondering what these folks know about who is actually benefiting from the use, the intensive use of this water. Who are the people who walk away with all the money from the pecan industry?
That's a good question. I'm not sure where precisely to place that in terms of our guest. Is that something you can speak? I mean, Jorge, surely you can speak to agriculture in general in terms of water rights and the kind of who's benefiting.
Yeah, unfortunately, I can't give you a well-informed comments on this area because I don't know that much.
The Rio Grande. Maybe I'll spin it to Anthony Gutierrez. Let's go into a more generalistic sense in terms of, you know, from agriculture. I guess I think what she's getting at is, you know, when water is diverted or allocated to farmers, is that something that the whole region benefits from, or is it something that, you know, a select group of farmers growing cash crops benefit from? Is that something that we share in?
Well, I know that the New Mexico State University has done a study on the Gila River and the potential impact of having that water that we currently let flow to Arizona. And their study concluded that if the water was used effectively and efficiently for agriculture in southwest New Mexico, that potentially it could increase the economic value or economic base by $5.2 million annually. Now, people talked about how much money potentially this would cost, and if there is a, you could see how quickly you could be able to make up some of that loss with the economic benefit. And I'm not I'm not an economist, and so I have to go by what, what other people say. But $5.2 million is a huge increase of what we currently do in Southwest New Mexico, I think, at any time. And if you'll see, if you'll look, from a study also from New Mexico State University, ag production in Southwest New Mexico is actually the third contributor to the economy in our region.
But it does use 80, somewhere between 70-80% of the water. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting to see. There's obviously a lot of spin-off effects from agriculture as well. We're going to go to a caller now. Just once again, you're listening to Voice of the Public. We have Anthony Gutierrez from NMCAP calling in on the phone with ready to answer your questions. Jorge Figueroa, a water policy analyst in our region, and James Marshall, assistant town manager of Silver City. We're going to go to Beth, who is on the phone, who has a question about the proposal's allocation of resources. Are you there, Beth?
Hi.
Thanks for calling
in. You're very welcome. So my question for the guests is this. The Arizona Water Settlements Act federal funding was intended to help secure a future water supply for the entire four southwestern county region. My understanding is that as currently proposed, the entire federal subsidy will be spent on a diversion that will only deliver water to a handful of residents in the region who live on the Gila River. Is that the fairest or best allocation of the available federal taxpayer funds?
Did you want to address that first, Anthony, and then we'll defer
sure.
to Anthony and James?
Certainly. I think that number one, there has been already allocations from the AWSA for non-diversion projects. I think it equals $9 million at this point. We have also, when we were the Gila San Francisco Water Commission, felt that it could be a potentially better way to be able to get some of these funds to these project proponents, but we also, in our proposed action, also have projects in the Verdon Valley, which is in Hidalgo County, on the San Francisco, which is in Catron County, the Upper Gila and the Lower Gila in Red Rock area. So not necessarily just a handful of people in the Upper Gila Valley. We're also looking into some other projects to be able to provide municipal water from existing infrastructure, and plus we're also trying to investigate the fact that there's been an allocation for New Mexico and Arizona for quite some time, all the way back to 1908. And what we're trying to do is trying to find a way that to benefit from that water that's currently being sold in Arizona. And that's a monetary type benefit, and would be able to actually be able to create a revenue source for all types of water projects. And so we're doing other things besides just trying to build a diversion and supply some people to a handful of people. We're working on a lot of different things directly related to the act and to the congressional act itself. And so we're wanting to secure our water future as a whole, not just a handful of people. I think that's a misconception of what the CAPNC is supposed to do.
So it seems consensus, there's a fair bit of consensus on everyone wanting to kind of, support our water future. But Jorge, do you feel that the allocation does do justice to everybody in the region that the Settlement Act is supposed to account for?
No. Yes, $9 million is great, and there has been a lot of work from the New Mexico CAP entity and other stakeholders diligently ensuring that those $9 million are well spent, and I've seen those projects on the ground, and I think that they have definitely been well spent. But those projects also, my understanding is that the non-diversion alternatives that were proposed and submitted to the CAP entity for the urban areas, they probably got 20% of what they requested. There are projects like the regional water infrastructure project for the area of Silver City and other communities like Hurley, which are my organization, Western Resource Advocates, thinks it's a very smart project that would provide water for people who really, really critically need it. We're talking about the existence of a town, whether they have that water available or not. And so there is a big lack of funding that they could tap into this federal funding for that, for investing in that critically needed infrastructure for a whole town that is not currently being funded. And obviously, the city of Deming and the city of Silver City, their infrastructure needs for water, and in order to get them be resilient to what's climate change and drought are going to give us, are much, much more than $9 million. We're talking about in the tens of millions of dollars and more for each of these cities, which have the greatest population centers in the region.
We're going to go over to the phones now, but before that, if you're just tuning in to KRWG, you're listening to Voice of the Public. We are talking about water scarcity with our guests, water policy analyst with Western Resource Advocates, James Marshall, assistant manager in Silver City, assistant town manager in Silver City, excuse me, and Anthony Gutierrez with NMCAP, the New Mexico Central Arizona Project. We have Tom on the phone with a question. Are you there, Tom?
Yes.
Go for it. What was your question? You're on the air.
My question is, whenever there is a resource issue that comes up in our country, the first impulse is to go for more. Go to the resource as opposed to the consumptive side, the emphasis and money spent and energy on trying to find more of everything, as opposed to putting that energy into education and teaching people that the lifestyle that we're used to is not sustainable, considering climate change and the scarcity of water, etc.
Interesting. So that's obviously for probably all three of our guests. I'm going to start with you, James. Silver City, in the last couple of years, perhaps even longer, has instituted and initiated a bunch of different water saving initiatives, minimizing water demand. Could you tell us about those and how that's allowed you to kind of, you know, to save water, but also kind of get away from what our listener Tom is kind of talking about, and then we'll go to Anthony.
Sure, that's a great question, and Silver City has taken that exact approach in a very serious manner with putting in the automatic meter reading system, putting in smart irrigation projects, doing water harvesting projects around the town, all of which go into recharging the aquifer and making sure that we're doing maximal benefit with the water that we do have to pump. Additionally, Silver City has definitely been a leader in the regional water project.
Was that kind of a psychological leap or a mental leap to kind of take people to that point and say, you know, we're not necessarily going to, you know, as this gentleman has highlighted, you know, there's this kind of impulse to, okay, let's dam this, let's get this water. Is that something that was difficult to kind of sell to your constituents and your community?
It wasn't at all difficult to sell to the community. When you look at the cost of to pump water and then what you're able to account for in bill, just that difference, and since we put in the automatic meter reading system, we have a $270,000 increase in revenue.
Interesting. Anthony, did you want to address this as well? The gentleman on the phone, Tom, is kind of talking about this human nature trait whereby people kind of go for solutions. They go for the water. They go for the big thing, the big solution. And he's kind of highlighting, suggesting that maybe that's not the solution. Could you kind of speak to that?
Well, I have to agree. I mean, any time we're all spoiled. And but usually nobody ever does anything about it until they go turn the water on in their faucet and water doesn't come out. What we're trying to do is trying to take a look at this from a futuristic standpoint. We already have issues in the agricultural community that they don't receive water. They don't receive the allocation that they have a right to. And that's, I think what we're trying to do is to make sure that we have, you know, both, that we are able to sustain what we currently have. People talk about food securities and securities as a region and a whole in the Western United States. We can see the Western United States is running out of water quickly, and we feel that potentially at some point each individual region is going to have their own security, and you can't have that type of food security or any type of security without water. And water is the most valuable resource that we have. And we're not trying to exploit what we have. We're not trying to increase anything. We're just trying to secure what's rightly, we feel, is New Mexico's. I mean, the water's in New Mexico, and right now it continues to flow to Arizona. And somebody benefits from it, and we don't. And so I don't think that there is a... we're not trying to exploit the water. We're just trying to make sure that we have some security in where we live. But we're always a proponent for conservation projects. Matter of fact, the regional projects is one of the... When I was a planning director for Grant County, I did a lot of work on the proposed regional project. And I'm still continuing to follow the project and even propose to the New Mexico CAP entity that we approach the University Stream Commission to assist in getting that project completed. So yeah, there's a lot of good things that can be done. Silver City and the City of Deming both have done. But we're looking more at what if, I mean, what if you can use conservation, but if you're out of water, you're out of water, and you cease to exist.
We're going to go to a caller now. Okay, interesting. And we have Kara, who has a related question. Before we put Kara on, just a reminder, our number is 575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. Samantha Sonner is also standing by the social media desk to take your tweets and comments. Kara, are you with us? You had your question about cost benefits.
Yes, thank you. I'm wondering what the cost-benefit ratio is when we're talking about very scarce federal funding dollars, and I'm afraid when they're gone, they're gone. Could the speakers talk to the idea of water conservation, and how does it compare to the cost of infrastructure projects like building pipelines for water and building diversions for water?
Jorge, did you want to address that question from our listener?
Yeah, it's hard right now to talk specifically about, for example, the Gila River diversion project, because there are different alternatives. And but I can tell you about the difference between the value of conserved water, how much it costs to conserve an acre feet of water versus that you can actually use to provide water for new demand versus an acre feet of water from a diversion project in Colorado.
So maybe could you tell us about that with maybe a cost benefit, like
exactly.
Dollar figure, so like a layman can kind of understand.
So in Colorado, water utilities invest in water conservation as a new source of supply, and an acre foot this is about more than 300,000 gallons of water achieved through a conservation program costs in average about $5,000. An acre foot of a diversion project to bring water to a city in Colorado and it involves water rights, lawyers, etc.
Uh-huh.
Cost between $19,000 to $25,000. And so water conservation is by far the cheapest, the fastest, and when you talk about climate change, the most reliable water that you're probably going to have. The cheapest water that water utilities and communities have is the water that they already have in their system.
Interesting stuff. Interesting to put those two figures next to one another as well. We're going to go to a caller who wants to weigh in on this same topic. Norm, are you with us?
I am, thanks.
Go for it. What was your question?
My question
Norm, are you with us still? I think we got disconnected from Norm. We're going to go to another caller, if that's ready. Yep, just hold on for a moment. So I wanted to kind of get back to basically looking at, Anthony, if basically where is the water intended to go, and who's the likely reciprocant, and who's the likely purchaser of this water that's being proposed and diverted?
Well, initially, what we're proposing is that the water go to the ag community. The infrastructure can be used trifold for not only AWSA water, but potentially adjudicated water rights, and also Globe Decree water, which is available for the ag community in the Verdon Valley, which is actually the larger ag economic base for the Gila River. And so what we're trying to do is trying to provide water for both of those agricultural communities. At this point, seek other avenues to be able to provide municipal water through existing infrastructure, as I've mentioned. We've been working pretty diligently with Freeport-McMoRan to try and they have existing infrastructure already across the Continental Divide. Being able to use existing infrastructure would certainly reduce the cost for any municipal supply to almost nothing in comparison to actually building new infrastructure. So what we're trying to do is trying to reduce the overall magnitude of the project for ag, trying to provide, again, municipal supply to existing infrastructure. And we talked about money and...
But is there like a specific town or a specific kind of... region, specific group of farmers? Who's the likely?
It's the ag community along the Gila River. It's the Upper Gila Valley and the Verdon Valley and the Red Rock Valley. There's three different ag communities that benefit from that.
Interesting. So we're going to go to another caller. We have Andrea on hold. She has a question about water saving incentives. Are you with us, Andrea?
Yes, I am. Thank you for taking my call. Can you tell me what conservation measures the agricultural community are taking if they're taking 80% of the water? Because within my understanding of water rights, there is no incentive for them to conserve water. I might be wrong, but I think if they don't use the water, then they don't get that allocation the next year. I may be wrong on that, but you know, what incentives are there within the water rights structure?
Interesting question. Anthony, do you feel like you can address that?
Sure. I can address it in a couple of ways. I know that in the Verdon Valley, they've already lined their ditches with concrete. They have a little bit more sophisticated irrigation system in that area. The Upper Gila Valley, though, they've taken a look at utilizing some of those more effective and efficient agricultural type of infrastructure, but in the upper reaches of the Gila, the existing infrastructure actually acts as a benefit at times to the overall ecology of the river, because the water that's used through the ditches and the flood irrigation returns back to the river, and so although there is some ideas about being able to improve that infrastructure, there is some caution about that because of the way that the whole riparian area interacts with the irrigation and the land itself. So that's as far as I know, that's kind of where I hope that answers your question.
I think you did pretty well. So I want to kind of wrap up the show and kind of get an understanding. I've got a question via social media, and I think it's best directed to you, Anthony. Is the project necessarily a done deal?
No, it's not a done deal. We're trying to be as fiscally responsible as we possibly can. We're just entering the NEPA portion of it, which would include Of course, a NEPA analysis, the environmental analysis. We still have scoping, public input. So although there's been a long time before this point that we've got to, over 10 years, we just had a proposed action in July, and that kind of set off the whole process. So there's still a pretty lengthy process. We still got about 3 years of analysis to do, and that includes a lot of public scoping and public input. So it's by far a done deal.
Okay. Interesting. So I kind of want to defer to my other two guests as well, kind of getting final questions, final statements on the topic that you feel like need to be addressed and you want to have addressed in this discussion.
You know, I just want to say that Silver City has taken the effort of conservation, and we've had great success extending our water planning out from 40 to over 100 years. Just with the water meter project, we're now accounting for 29 million gallons of water annually, and total project cost on that was $3.7 million.
Is that something you feel like everybody, every region, every town can do in their own way with various different similar projects?
Absolutely. It's great technology. It frees up staff to go out and educate people on how to conserve water. You know, the $264,000 we're recovering in finances is coming out of our citizens. So now we have staff that can go out there. We have the data available to actually educate them and show them exactly where their water usage is and help them develop their own conservation measures house to house.
And is that something that, is there more steps you're taking into the future, you know, continuing in that direction in terms of conservation? And what are obstacles stopping you from doing that? Is it financial, or is it just a matter of time? Is it technology?
Money is always an issue. You always need the money to start the programs. With the new performance bonding projects structure that's out there, that definitely helps. Utilizing some creative financing really helps. But having grants that prove a long-term benefit is very helpful to the citizens.
Okay. Well, thank you for joining us. Jorge, did you want to address some of your final statements on this discussion and this topic?
I just think that it would be very, very sad to impair negatively the last free-flowing river in New Mexico on a project that, according to all the data that's available, is not needed for the region, and very sad to waste tens of millions of dollars in consultants that are not from the region doing studies for a project that's not needed, and that will bring nominal benefits to the region instead of using tens of millions of dollars for improving both the green infrastructure, the ditches, and in the farming infrastructure, and also the municipal infrastructure.
Interesting. Anthony, did you kind of want to wrap up your position and your kind of approach to these problems and your solutions as well?
Sure. I think, you know, I used to be, like I said, the planning director for Grant County. I certainly understand the need for infrastructure and conservation measures in these communities, and I certainly applaud the communities of what they've done to this point. But as always, there's a finite amount of money, and usually what happens is in these type of instances is that the money's all used up. We could get rid of all the money and use it up, and in 30 years we'd have exactly the same problems. What we're trying to do is to ensure that we can provide a valuable resource and try and also provide a revenue source so that the money doesn't dry up.
Interesting. Okay. I'm going to cut you off there, Anthony, because we are out of time. But gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on KRWG Voice of the Public for our discussion on water scarcity. You can listen online at our website at krwg.org. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thanks for joining us for the program. Coming up next is Intermezzo with Leora Zeitlin. Thank you.